Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. On Be a Slayer, we will unmask all the taboos. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here, because the Be a Slayer podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Hello, hello. This is Be a Slayer Radio, and I'm Tracy Dunblazer. Welcome. In this episode, Facing Death When You're Alive, we're going to be talking about things like near-death experiences, past lives, and what I call the death march. Get a pen and a paper so that if you want to call in with your questions, with this, we are live today. Of course, it's Pacific time, so go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-555-5453 with any of your questions on our topic. Now, because you guys are just getting to know me and this new format of Be a Slayer Radio, I'd like to share with you a little more about the show and who I am, and as always, a Tracy fun fact. So I created the hashtag Be a Slayer about 10 years ago when I published my first book called Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy. And that comes from the first volume of the Demon Slayer's Handbook series. Now, the book talks about my experiences being born multi-spirited, which means I had multiple spirits attached to me, and also came in with multiple spiritual imprints that gave me a perspective of seeing things through the eyes of these spirits with me in addition to my own. So it was a very unique perspective, and as a child, I never differentiated. I never thought that others didn't see things that way. My mother, God bless her, she said to me one time, well, just know that other people don't always see things as you do. And I don't know, I became more and more impressed with that statement as I grew older, because I think that was the best thing that she could have ever said to me. You know, and I think that's the truth for all of us. You know, people aren't always going to see things how we do. So learning to own your own perspective and who you are is the best that you can ask for. So, the interesting thing, in addition to having the multiple entities attached, I saw that experience. I call it being demonically challenged. And people in our culture are really afraid of the demon word, because we see that as this otherworldly being. And in fact, it is for some people. You know, when you talk about demons, every culture references that kind of an entity, but it's only through Christianity and Catholicism that we really talk about demons, and that there's a huge fear. Nobody else fears them the way that we do here, especially in America. But basically, you know, demons are an energy that has never been incarnate. They've never walked as a human being. They are emotional energy that may have been created hundreds of thousands of years ago, and have over time been nurtured and fed more of the nature or the frequency of energy that they are. And they've become a critter. That's what I call them, critters. And those energies, when I was afflicted deeply as a child, I had multiple haunting experiences, and night terrors almost every night. I had past life dreams, visions of experiences, the ways that I had died in other lifetimes. And I carried all of that with me and experienced all of those things from you know, my first actual memory was I was, you know, two years old, in the crib, and I remember seeing a spirit and, you know, waking up from night terrors and that kind of thing. So there was also this experience of being outside of myself in addition to internally having all of these psychic, spiritual, and emotional experiences. And as I grew up with a family who had a vast depth for dark humor, it got me through the worst of those times. You know, I learned to very early on make fun of things that, you know, people in our culture, we've become more and more sensitive and empathetic to what people feel, so we don't necessarily give ourselves permission to laugh at what seems impossible to laugh at. Anyway, so over the years, I've been given the nickname the Demon Slayer, and my tagline became Be a Slayer, because we all have our own demons to slay, which is what this radio show is about, finding ways of overcoming what feels impossible and learning ways of communicating about topics that are taboo in our culture. It has been my experience that the more you can intelligently speak on a topic and understand a topic, the more you take comfort in what you know and also become open to what you don't know. So that's the Tracy fun fact for today, how hashtag Be a Slayer became a thing for me. And if you'd like to learn more about what I do and the kind of work that I do every day, you can tap into TracyDunblazer.com, and that's Tracy with two E's, and Dunblazers, DunblazerR.com, to see more about that. So now, before we dig in to our topic today, I'd like to recap some of what we talked about in last week's show, which you can, of course, listen to in the archive here on HealthyLife.net. The show was called Shattering Stereotypes, Women's Autonomy, and Changing Social Dynamics. And if you don't know, I would love for you guys to call in when I do a live show, or you can send me notes on socials, or you can send, you know, info@tracydunblazer.com. If you have a question about something that I've spoken about, and that's what I'm going to, you know, in the first 10 minutes of every show, I'm going to address any letters that have come in over that month and you know, talk a little bit more about how you guys are feeling about the topics that I address. So I received a letter. In the show, we talked about the backlash that women receive when they are over 40 and single or childless. And just for fun, I'm going to rehash a couple of the statistics that I found online, which are, in 2020, single women over 40 hit an all-time high of 25%, which was up 5% from 2010. And this was the clincher. The only other time that the numbers were higher were in the last few years of the Civil War. Isn't that interesting? Right? The only time that women were over 40 single and childless to the degree at which they are today, probably because all the men were dead. You know, they were all killed off in the war. Like, it's really crazy to conceptualize. Like, it's obvious for different reasons today than it was at that time, but it's interesting to consider how far we've come. The next interesting fact is the percentage of childless women at ages between 35 and 50 went from 21% at age 35 to 15% at age 50, which is significant. It's a significant increase from 2010. So women today, as women, honestly, as we gain more rights, as we understand our own needs and have more liberty, we don't need to couple. Or if we couple, we're going to couple in a way that serves the entire family group and not just the obligations that, or the traditional, I guess, roles of men and women that we are, you know, we're really working to transform and create an understanding, of course, that all people are equal, but more recognizing that each human being has a natural divine feminine and divine masculine. And as we integrate and feel like we are a whole person, we have different types of relationships that aren't born of those old obligations and roles that have been played over the centuries. So our letter today comes from Andy from Los Angeles, Angela from Los Angeles, and she writes, "Thanks so much for talking about this interesting topic. I really haven't heard much discussion on it. I'm chiming into the conversation because as a childless woman, I feel very fortunate that I've had every opportunity to pursue multiple professional careers and passions unimpeded by judgments about my choices on marriage and children. But I have certainly bore witness to many other women who have really struggled with pressure from family and friends to marry and have children. The question is, I've always been curious about why some women are more targeted for this type of judgment and pressure than others." She goes on to say that her thought is that it has a lot to do with each woman's own security and asserting personal choices and freedoms at the risk of social exclusion or isolation. And it takes a lot of courage to swim upstream, and it's certainly not for everyone. What are your thoughts? So my thoughts are that obstacles in our life specifically come to us in ways, usually outside of us. They come from all corners of our life to help us walk through and overcome a belief about ourselves. And one of the things, you know, I certainly, you know, my mother, I lost my father when I was 12. So I grew up with a single mother. My mother didn't remarry until I was out of the house at 17. And so I grew up with a single woman and have been a single woman. Of course, I've been in relationships, and I've been asked to be a bride on multiple occasions, but I have never taken that step with somebody because the options weren't where I was at. Let's just say that. But I think that we have our culture tends to revere married people, and especially married women, because if you're single and childless, or you're single over 40, you know, you're a whore, you're a slut, you are like we definitely sex shame, especially single women. We exalt single men. They have sexual prowess. They have, you know, relationships. They have charm. They have vigor. They have all of these wonderful masculine traits when they're single and have multiple partners. But if a woman has multiple partners, then she's a whore. And if she doesn't have any partners, then she probably has 10 cats, right? There's a lot of assumptions that we make about women when they are single and childless. And like I said, as you pass 35 and on up, it becomes this whole other thing. So I know for me, my whole life, I've had people say things to me like, "Well, at least I have a husband," you know, or, you know, for a long time, people wanted me to get into relationships, and they never liked the relationships that I was in, and, you know, they always were trying to saying platitudes like, "Oh, don't worry, he's out there," and obviously that comes with the undertone that If he's not out there, then I'm less. If I don't choose, I think I don't believe that we are karmically obligated to one partner. I think we can have multiple soulmates, multiple mates. We can choose a life partner. You know, we can certainly mate for life, but it really has to do with you, what you're doing, and where you're at. And I've had a healing life, so my life has been about honoring and transforming myself to become the best that I can be. And I've never found a partner to match me at the pace that I have gone. So anyway, but it's interesting. I think that each individual, to answer your question, Angela, each individual is faced outside of them with the own, with the judgments that they have learned or that they came in with about whatever the topic is. So, if you find, if you are a single woman over a certain age, whatever that age is for you, that it becomes meaningful, you know, really consider that the information and interest that other people take, when people have all kinds of opinions about you, it's because there's an internal sense of judgment from you to yourself. And, you know, if you can really reconcile that, I guarantee you, the other people's opinions will just stop because the energy just won't be there to feed them. So, thank you so much, Angela, for this insightful question and giving us the opportunity to really talk about, it was such an interesting topic. So, let's dig into our first part of talking about today's topic is, NDEs, near-death experiences. So, these can cover all manner of experiences. People can have, a near-death experience is when somebody has died or their body has died. And it's basically the consciousness and the cognizance of witnessing what happens to the soul or the spirit when the body dies. And then, of course, the near-death experience means that the soul has re-entered the body and the body remains alive and the person continues on in a life, right? So I've had multiple death experiences, which means I remember deaths in other lifetimes. Those that kind of goes in the past life category. So we'll be talking about that in the next segment. But right now we're talking about near death experiences, and I spoke with a colleague of mine who has just written a chapter. She grew up in a farming community, a farm country here in the United States, and she first had a near death experience at the age of 4 and a second one at the age of 6. And both were due to medical emergencies and life-saving surgeries that she had. And so I wanted to read you a little bit about her story. And, of course, if you want to call in, if you've got a question about this or you had an experience and you're not quite sure how to talk about it or qualify it, give us a call here at 1-800-555-5453. So Susan begins her story with the first time I remember lying on the couch in the living room of our farmhouse. I know it was summer because of the way I was dressed, but I was under a blanket that was so heavy I was unable to move. At the time, doctors still made house calls, and I remember the doctor examining me and walking into the next room with my parents to discuss moving me to either the local hospital about 10 to 12 miles away or to the University of Iowa Hospital. As time was of the essence, the local hospital was chosen. The discussion was easy to follow as I had risen out of my body, and I was watching and listening from above them, near the ceiling. Then I found myself in the most beautiful garden imaginable, where everything just glowed with vibrant color. The trees were so tall, bigger, and taller than anything I'd ever seen before, like the coastal redwood trees of California. There were small animals and wildflowers. It was so pretty and with such an infinite and immense sense of peace. I could see 3 familiar beings under a tree in front of me, and I immediately recognized them as angels. But more than that, I recognized them as being my personal angels, my very old friends I felt so safe and comfortable with. Eventually, I was asked again if I wished to see the world through the eyes of the animals, and some were familiar. She says, she goes on to say she couldn't recall the time that led to the medical emergency and the same surgery and subsequent second NDE when she was 6, which we're going to get to. But once again, she was back at the same beautiful garden with her angels, and she recalls, I asked my angels about what I was taught in Sunday school. I was raised Lutheran, she says. The question I specifically remember asking them was, how long is God's day? Isn't that an interesting question? How long is God's day? Logically, it made perfect sense to me as a child that God, being such a massive being, would have a much longer day than ours. Eventually, this is during her second NDE, eventually she was asked again through the eyes of the, to see through the eyes of the animals, and some were familiar and some weren't. As her experience continued, further venturing into animals she was not familiar with, and ended up swimming in the ocean in what she now believes was a whale. So I'm coming up on our time. So we're gonna talk more about NDEs when I come back. And if you want to call in with a question, again, it's 1-800-555-5453. What do you think of a near-death experience? What do you think happens when we die? Call in, text, write, social media. What do you think happens when we die? We're going to get to that next. We're here at Be a Slayer Radio on HealthyLife.net.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
The home for high-quality video is Vimeo. People who love videos love Vimeo. It's the community for indie filmmakers, popular entertainers, music videos. Even the White House posts high-def versions of its broadcasts on Vimeo. You can even upload and share your videos. So much to see, so little time. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Vimeo and get started seeing and sharing great entertainment now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer Radio. This is Tracy Dunblazer. And we were just discussing near-death experiences, what it's like when your body almost dies or dies for a period of time and your spirit leaves. So we were also hearing a story from Susan Walter. Now, Susan Walter is an artist. She lives in Middle America, and she is a fantastic artist. If you want to get into some of her art or check her out, you can go to SusanWalterArt.com. And I'm going to get into this story when she was 6 years old and had a second NDE from an illness. She goes on to write, "I was shown what appeared to be the birth of souls from the Creator. Souls were birthed on the exhale, and then on the inhale, some souls would return to the Creator. This was repeated, like breathing, for some time. I was shown that I was from the first exhale that I had seen. At that moment, it became my intention to move to the frequency of the angels. I was motioned aside with two other souls and asked to become a planet creators, a concept I am still trying to fully understand today. The being making this request manifested a scroll that looked like what I can only describe as a thin computer screen. On this screen, we were shown what it would be like if we focused on this task and what it would be like if we did not. I enter a training program for this role, while the other souls did not. And I remember only a brief moment of it all, best described as moving and playing with the energy of the divine. The next thing I remember is waking up in the hospital with one of my grandmothers sitting beside me, reading a National Geographic magazine, one of her favorites, with the three Giza pyramids on the front cover. She did not realize I was awake until I asked her, "Where are the rest of them?" I somehow knew there were more than the three pyramids we were familiar with. It's very interesting to note that in the early 2020s, the foundations of more pyramids were discovered in Giza. In 1997, I was a mother of two teenage boys and two toddlers, and I realized I was not the only one able to see my angels, but everyone else's angels as well. As soon as I could, I took a few moments to ask, what was happening? Why me? Why now? Meditating on these questions, the message was clear. I was to visually portray the angels through art, and that I would receive all the help I needed. To be very honest, I was completely overwhelmed by it all and pushed it aside for probably 6 months, arguing that I was too busy with my children and had no idea how to do this. But this has since become my purpose in life, to help others connect to their angels, giving a visual as well as the name as tools for this process. Through their full names, it would take 15 to 20 minutes. To say their full name, it would take 15 to 20 minutes to say their full name, since we, and that's of the angels, like we're talking about translating the name of an angel into the language that we speak. Since we need something shorter, they spell for me a piece of it, an abbreviation for us to relate to. Now, one of the things when we're talking about NDEs is you can't have this is a life-altering experience. The minute you perceive something that is beyond your 3D or even 4D life. Right? When we talk about a 3D life, we're talking about the physical world, this dimension of experience, of human evolution. And we are just awakening as a culture to our fourth and fifth dimensional experience, which means our ability to hear energy, see energy, feel energy, and to open up to the multidimensional world and to manage ourselves in it, right? When we talk about managing ourselves in it, here Susan is talking about floating in the corner of the room. Astral travel is what we call that, right? So you're astral traveling over into the corner of the room. Well, you're going to sit there and watch the humans do their thing, and then you're going to go talk to the angels, right? And the more we shift our vibration, the more we access higher frequencies. That's really, there's no other way to describe it but a frequency of understanding. We can say it's like when there's a certain kind of music that you like. Some people love blues, and some people love classical. Some people like rock, some people like punk rock. Right? There's all these different vibrations of music that help you to manage and access different parts of yourself. It helps your imagination to expand and to envision a different life, a different self, a different world, a different relationship, whatever that music, wherever it takes you. Like in Susan's world here, she went to a garden of beautiful flowers, and the colors were rich and vibrant. Right? So when you have one of these near-death experiences, or any time, and I'll talk shortly, I want probably in the next segment about an experience that I had that wasn't, I didn't die, but it was talking about if I wanted to die, I could. I had finished what I came here to do, but that's a whole other thing. But you will get to know me and my train of thought, you know, squirrel. I go off on another topic. But when you have a near-death experience, it changes. You can't go back into the 3D world and see it as you had seen it before. Once you awaken to the fourth and fifth dimension, your ability to be telepathic and intuitive and psychic and instinctive, like once you elevate yourself or expand yourself to those abilities, you can't see the world in the same way. It's like you can't judge people in the same way, right? It's really easy to watch the news every day and judge people for what we think that they're saying and doing and how awful it is or how great it is or whatever we think about it, right? But when you begin to understand a little more deeply about why people do what they do, what they've experienced previously, what was happening before they took such an action, right? The more you understand, the more layered things are, the more expanded you are, the more compassion you must feel. Because there's no other place to put all that, right? But into an open heart. So the reason why we're talking about death today is because, you know, oftentimes when you're overcoming fear, when you look at a topic and you dig into it deeply and you've got more and more information, you don't have to be fearful of it anymore.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
We were having some, I am having some technical difficulties today, so thanks for following along with me. We were just talking about near-death experiences, and when somebody has a near-death experience, what's the impact? What's the point? What's the purpose? Why is it we need to, or some of us need to, have this deeper understanding of the multidimensional world, right? When you see beautiful colors that your perspective doesn't have them here. I understand that our the way we physically see things is based in light. The more light we carry, the more we focus on the light, the brighter the colors become, the more inspiring the world becomes. However, this is a world of duality. So it's very interesting when we talk about the impact of these understandings in the world. So I'm gonna continue on. That was a beautiful story. I really want to thank SusanWalterArt.com for providing me that story to give you a deeper understanding of what it means to have a near-death experience. Now we're going to move into past lives. Past lives is a little different concept. It is the concept that we have all lived multiple lives before, at other times, in other ways, sometimes in other galaxies, other countries, other cultures, right? We each have had, I saw a thing, I follow Neil deGrasse Tyson on Facebook, and he told this amazing story. It was this concept that, you know, we have 7 billion people on the planet, but based on physics, the possibilities of the billions and billions of people that could incarnate on the planet, the fact that only 7 billion do, and the fact that you are one of them, is powerful. Right? It's powerful to see that billions, it's a number that I can't even really conceptualize, so just billions and billions of people could be here, but they're not, right? There are 7 billion of us-ish, and we've all chosen to be here at this time going through these things. And when you can recognize, like, wow, I have a role in this. I've chosen to be here for a reason. And maybe you're a person who says, you know, well, God chose you to be here. Whatever. You are here, and you've got a responsibility, you've got an opportunity, you've got a lot riding on being here now and what that means to you and what you can do with your time here, right? And the idea of past lives, you know, 200 years ago, people lived till they were 20, 30, 40, tops, right? Today, we're living until we're 80, 90, and working into the hundreds. So that, In context, like the length of a life, it makes perfect sense that we've all lived multiple lifetimes. And that in those lifetimes, we've had multiple experiences. Now, if you're not a person that prescribes, and I suspect that if you're listening to HealthyLife.net, you're not opposed to the idea. Right? But let's say you're a person who's like, I don't know if I've lived in past lives. Well, you definitely came in with spiritual imprints that gave you understanding and knowledge that you didn't create here, that you didn't ascertain from living in this lifetime. So, regardless of what you want to call it, a spiritual imprint or a past life, there are many ways that these spiritual experiences come to us. We can have a past life dream. We can have a past life vision. We have something that I call past life recall. I'm not the only one that calls it that, because it's when you actually recall, it's like you relive that past life experience. And each of those, when we come in with these imprints, they bring us a certain set of obstacles to overcome, and it also brings us a certain skill set that we've been given to overcome those obstacles. Isn't that convenient? Right? We've got the thing to do and the way to do it. And how many of you out there have had past life dreams or visions or recall? If you're listening and want to give us a call in, 1-800-555-5453. This lifetime for me, my book series, the Demon Slayer's Handbook series, has three different books, all talking about our relationships of the multidimensional world and past lives. And in Heal Your Soul History, Embrace Your Power with Joy, I talk about five lifetimes in which I incarnated as a female and dealing with all of the relationships that we've had to women over the last 500 years. And it has given me a certain set of knowledge to help me understand, and again, this is the reason why we have this information. We come in with this information because it helps us, it gives us some context as to why it's valuable what we're going through now. You know, women can vote. There was a time when women couldn't vote. There was a time that women weren't seen as equal. Even, I mean, there are still parts of our systemic bias all over the globe, for certain, but definitely here in the United States, that minimizes or marginalizes a woman's beingness, right? So I came into this lifetime with all of these different lifetimes of experience to help me more deeply understand why, who, what, how. One of the experiences I had was I was a Taino, an indigenous tribe in the West Indies in the late 400s and early 500s. And I was kidnapped, taken aboard a ship. I believe it was a Spanish ship. I can't really remember much about it, but I was impregnated by the man who stole me and kept there because they wanted to keep my baby. And this one night, there was a demon that was with me. I had called on him for protection. And I when I listen outside of myself, it always seems so hilarious. It's not hilarious. So I'm going to tell you what happens when I become aware of the demon as I'm sitting in the belly of this ship in the middle of the Atlantic when I come back to be a Slayer Radio. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned to the next segment.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunglazer. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hi, welcome back to Be a Slayer Radio. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and we were just talking about past lives, and I was telling you about a past life that I recalled. The recall took years because I had instinctual relationships, instinctual emotional triggers that would come up that I couldn't really quite connect. But I was of the Taino tribe, and I had been kidnapped by a Spaniard and been taken upon a Spanish ship, and I was raped, and I'd been impregnated, and so the dream memory that I had was of me being 9 months pregnant, huge, and sitting in the belly of a ship. And if you can imagine that, you know, oftentimes they had animals, they had all kinds of things in the belly of the ship, and, you know, nobody washed, people used the bathroom there. Like, it was a big old hot smelly mess. And that's the thing that I most remember from this past life vision that I had was being there and the stench that was there. And somehow this dark being that was with me, it kept encouraging me to go up to the top of the ship, and for some reason I was able to do that. I'm not really sure exactly how that happened, but I was able to get up onto the top deck of the ship, and I hurled myself over. I died by suicide in that lifetime, and from that point I have also another conscious memory of living in the water. Like being in the water, understanding people who jumped off bridges, people who were suffering from suicidal ideation, and I remember I spent almost 200 years, if you can conceptualize that, right? Take a deep breath on that one. You know, 200 years I spent traveling with the dolphins. My spirit was in the water. I loved the ocean. And I was often able to connect with people to keep them from taking their own lives. And when I say often, I don't really know what that means, because it was, you know, if you think about, if it was a human relationship, it would be 200 years. So since we barely live to 100, it gets a little deep. You really got to use your imagination. But anyway, so we have past lives that inform this life, and it informs how we perceive death and dying. And I've got a few more minutes left here, and I really wanted to talk about death and dying. You know, there's something that I call the death march, and it's the point at which a person, whether they're conscious or they are unconscious, like a conscious person who is preparing to die, they know they're going to die. Maybe they have an illness. Maybe they, like, so the consciousness of their mortality has become real to them. And they have begun the process of pulling their energy back to their daily activities, to their relationships, to their things, right? When you begin to become a multidimensional person, There is a place in between being three-dimensional and being in spirit where a lot of your ideology must change. And it's one thing to experience it yourself, but it's a whole other thing to experience it by witnessing it on somebody, watching someone else whom you love or you know going through the process of preparing to die and to leave the world as they know it here. So the death march, in death, there's a process of letting go, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And it's a time of reconciling one's relationships to all things, going through and giving away personal items and taking a stand on long-held feelings and beliefs, when fear or politeness previously may have been an obstacle. And it's also a time for the resolution of one's relationships to themselves first and to others and the world second. There can be a beautiful time of confidence and self-actualization. Contemplating your own personal end times is a powerful way to find forgiveness. A reconciliation that may have been shrouded by rage and anger and bitterness or apathy somehow becomes simple in the perspective of your last moments of life. You let go of the attachment and the judgment you once held for yourself and for others, and you gain the understanding you need about the circumstances, or you release yourself from the need to know. The process of life is about asking the why of things. Death is about releasing yourself from them. Right? So I want to leave you with that concept in how you relate to death, and how I've had multiple experiences where, you know, I walked with my mother all the way through her death march. She was sick for 9 months, and even after she had transitioned, I communicated with her a lot, and still sometimes today I communicate with her spiritually. Many years ago, I had a very good friend of mine that I worked with. I was a waitress at the time, and so was she, and we had become unlikely friends. We became very close, and then all of a sudden, after, you know, almost a year of spending all this time together, she got a boyfriend, and then she just pulled back. She dropped off all of her contacts, didn't return calls, didn't reach out, nothing. Everything changed, and there was a group of us all around her wondering what's going on. And then within a month and a half after she did that, she was making all these life changes. She moved, got rid of almost all of her stuff, and then she was in a car accident and died about a month and a half later. And that being able to witness on my side of things, my perspective, that was such a profound teaching for me to understand that when we are ready to go, that there's a process. You know, when we're born, there's a process of attaching to this world that we live in. It's what helps us perceive what's here and to work who we are within it. And then the death march, which is a process of bringing your energy back to you and owning who you are. And so sometimes when you walk through that death march in a conscious way in this life, you can better understand what you need and how you need it, and can better honor yourself and others in the life that you're living, meaning that you fully live and experience this life as you deserve to. So I want to leave you today with that thought of being good to yourself and really looking at what it would be like to end this process here helps you to fully live in your life as you know it. Thank you so much. This has been Tracy Dunblazer and Be a Slayer Radio. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at tracydunblazer.com. And it is always a pleasure to talk to you on Wednesday afternoon. So have a wonderful day and be kind to yourself.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master your inner world. Embrace your power with joy. Brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold. One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bock. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.